Woods, how you doing?
Great, Mr. Gregor.
Lots to discuss now as we enter the hibernation mode, as I like to call it. You know what? We all admit that in Edmonton you can be a lot more active in the River Valley in the summertime, but it's a little bit harder when it starts to get chilly and that white stuff comes down and it's slippery and you don't want to run and everything else. And you know, it's just harder if you're somebody who likes to work out outside. So, winter physical activity plan. What is the number one priority to ensure that our hibernation doesn't turn into added pounds?
Well, interesting with that, Gregor. You know, and regardless of whether it's summertime activity, wintertime activity, if you're going to embark on any sort of plan, it's a good idea to start in the kitchen. So eat well. It's really simple. You know, the evidence and most of the research now is pointing in one direction. There's no one best diet. But the evidence is looking like if you eat a predominant amount of good vegetables, like lots of color, lots of variety, you're going to be getting all kinds of nutrient density, and pick quality proteins. Try to stay away from processed foods, and in most cases, you're going to start things off on the right foot. Even size, if you choose to eat like that and your calories are right, you will be able to maintain a healthy weight, and if you can maintain healthy weight, you'll reduce the risk of chronic diseases and typically just be feeling good physically and mentally. So that's the number one place to start. Mediterranean diet, Gregor, is a good example, or the DASH diet.
What's the DASH diet?
Well, it's a dietary approach to stop hypertension. So the diet was designed to bring down high blood pressures and reduce the amount of processed foods like high sodium and sugars in the diet, which typically there's a correlation with high blood pressure. So it helps to bring that down. But it's a great diet to use for good general health as well.
What's the Mediterranean one?
The Mediterranean diet is a diet that you can Google both of these diets, too, and you can bring up all kinds of information online. But, you know, like areas in and around the Mediterranean, Greece, Italy, where there's lots of natural oils, olives, very little meat, but meat is still a part of the diet, but lots of vegetables as well. And that people who in that area, they tend to have reduced risk of heart disease and so on. And they're actually in the midst of sort of studying that diet more closely to find out if there's other factors other than just the diet. But at this point, it appears to be a very healthy diet that reduces chronic disease.
Now, I know in the past you've talked about the fun factor has to be there for anybody who wants to be active. So find something that they like. Wear clothing that you actually, you know, fits what your activity is. But, you know, when you come to a winter activity, you know, strength training, do we need to do more, and this might sound strange question, do we need to do more strength training in the wintertime?
Well, here's the thing. Regardless of what activity you want to take part in, whether it's hiking, biking, or skiing, skating, whatever you like to do, if that's all you do, typically once you start to get engaged in these activities, like you can get an overuse injury of some sort because of all the repetition. If you strength train, Gregor, and like put in 4 to 6 weeks before you're going to take part in your activity so that you give your body some time to adapt and actually get stronger, you can reduce the risk of some sort of overuse injury by about 50% if you're strong first, because then your body will more or better tolerate the stress of these activities. And again, you know, you're going to get a great deal of gratification if you can stay injury-free. If you're constantly getting injured, there's not much fun in that. You're not likely to go back to your sport because you're always trying to heal.
Now, speaking of injuries, you know, we all saw Connor McDavid get injured last night going 100 miles an hour. I don't think you can do any sort of training that's going to protect your body from that type of impact at that speed. But rehabilitation from a broken clavicle, a fractured clavicle, broken collarbone, whatever you want to call it, Jeff, what are the key things to ensure that, you know, all of the muscles and everything around that are working and protecting it when he does come back?
Okay, well, here's the thing with that. The one thing that Connor McDavid has got going on his side, he's young, and a younger player will recover from something like this a little bit better than an older player, say in his mid-30s or 40s, for example. The first four weeks are kind of critical, Gregor, because what has to happen, a good union has to form a good bond to make sure that the bone is setting properly.
Okay.
Now, if he's having surgery and they have to put some screws and a plate in there, I'm not sure they're doing that. But if that's the case, you know, 6 to 8 weeks would be the time that he could look at probably tolerating some stress again. It could take as long as 12 weeks before he sees action again. But here's the one key factor. Connor McDavid, the joint where it broke, or the area that it broke, is just, I mean, if he's going to be in high contact or hit the board again, he's vulnerable to break it again. I mean, in my estimation, I've seen this injury before, and my son has gone through it. I mean, it took a full year of training and strength work before he could really tolerate and had confidence, mental confidence, to go back and really be aggressive in certain strength situations. So it's one that you have to be careful with. But, I mean, I would expect to see him back this year for sure.
Oh, well, yeah. No, they're all the docs are saying 8 to 12 weeks. It depends on it. Now, the screws and the plates, you know, that, because there are different injuries, and there are some broken collarbones that don't require plates and others do, and that's going to change the timeline significantly.
That's correct. Now, and two, in a much younger person, they typically won't plate it, and it will heal well on its own. But again, you hit it right on the head. It depends where the break was. If it was right in the center of the clavicle, they may not plate it. If it's closer to the bone, like in the shoulder, for example, it might need to be plated in that area. So it's hard to say, but and did you hear? Like, I don't know exactly what they did in the surgery.
No, we haven't heard that. We asked Peter Shirelli that earlier today, and you know, he said, "Hey, I'm not a doctor." He goes, "The docs know what they're doing," but he kind of hinted he felt like there was going to be screws and plates put in it. So,
okay.
and that's why I was going to ask you, there are where the clavicle's broken can also impact the recovery, right? Like if it's in the middle, it's easier to heal than if it's close to the shoulder. Is that not correct?
Well, here's the thing. If it happened and it was closer to the shoulder, there could be some instability issues with the shoulder joint as well. So
Okay. Rehabbing
a shoulder certainly takes a lot longer if there's damage to connective tissues and to the joint site there. If it was just a clean break in the center of the clavicle and no shoulder rehabilitation, he'll be back far quicker.
Yeah, so that's because there's been a lot of people saying, well, Patrick Kane had this and Tony Romo had this, but we don't know. Like, broken clavicles aren't all the same. There's different levels, especially where the break is, that's going to impact, you know, the return date for the player.
Absolutely. Here's another thing, too, Gregor. Every athlete is different. How that athlete eats, how that athlete trains, the actual health of that athlete's bone. Like, there's varying levels of bone density from player to player, like bone strength, muscular strength. So, I mean, these are all factors. And it does have an effect on how fast a player comes back. So if his strength was good, shoulder joint stable, I mean, all of these things being positive and bone density good, he'll most likely come back fairly quick. But if his bone health wasn't healthy, that could be a factor. He might come back a little slower than, say, some other athlete. So, you know, there's a bit of a guessing game. There's no tried and true timeline. You couldn't sort of clearly define it. It's not the same for all athletes.
Yeah, very true. As always, Jeff, we appreciate it. CustomFit.ca, people can get a hold of you guys if they want to set up a program, whether it's rehabbing or just working out and starting to get ready, so to ensure that the winter hibernation does not lead to extra pounds for themselves.
We will look forward to the calls.